Broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts radio.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall, James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Leaving,
Frank the Legend Shamrock,
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
And we are back, the Talking Brawls MMA.com live podcast with your host, as always, Niall McGrath. 24 hours, just under 24 hours removed from UFC Fight Night 40, where Matt Brown overcame Eric Silva in an enthralling contest, to say the least. I'm joined today, as always, by my good pal at TalkingBrawlsMMA.com, Keith Fitzpatrick. Keith, what's happening, my man?
Good evening, Niall. How's things?
Not bad, not bad. How did you enjoy the fights last night? Did you get to see them live, Keith?
I didn't catch them live. I only caught them this afternoon, but absolutely incredible stuff.
It was
one of those where Dana was probably just rubbing his hands together going, I told you so. But it was unbelievable fights.
Okay, guys, over the next sort of 45 minutes, we're going to be talking with Mark Raimondi in just a few minutes' time from foxsports.com. But just before we get joined, I'm going to give Mark a call in a minute. We look at this fight, Keith, and, you know, Matt's extended his winning streak to 7 fights now. You know, there's been a lot of talk today in social media that, you know, a lot of people, you know, get aboard the Matt Brown hype train. You know, is this a title shot winning performance, you know, taking into consideration, you know, the winning streak as well? What's your feeling on that?
No, I wouldn't give him a title shot off it. I mean, it's his best performance by a mile, probably, and against a guy who is very dangerous, but it's against a guy who hasn't been able to string 2 wins together in the UFC, like, back-to-back. He's very inconsistent, Eric Silva. So, yeah, it was impressive, but, I mean, I wouldn't put him in there against the Johnny Hendricks right now. I mean, I'd look at the Robbie Lawler, Jake Ellenberger fight.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him fight the winner of that. Obviously, Condit's a great fight too, but Condit's a while away yet. So, yeah, I want to see him against a top contender, which seems to be what they want to do anyway. So,
I heard something mentioned today, possibly that Tyron Woodley, Rory McDonald, the winner of that would be a good matchup for Matt Brown. Would you like that one as well?
I think both beat Matt Brown. So, it's probably a bad matchup for Matt Brown, but I don't know.
You know, another thing as well, I want to ask Mark this as well when we get him on. How good was that first round? Because a lot of people said, you know, it was the best rounds of all time. And I think a lot of people got carried away, you know, in the heat of the moment with the fight, saying, you know, it was an incredible fight, one of the best of all time. Where would you rank it in your estimation?
It was unbelievable. But, I mean, in mentioning Eric Silva and Matt Brown, I'd have to mention Herb Dean as well for not stopping it when Matt Brown got dropped from that body shot. I mean, I thought it was done. He kind of went in, pulled back, and let the fight go on. Like, and we saw what happened.
It was great. It was actually great to see Dana White announce that Eric Silva was actually okay, because he collapsed, I think, in trying to get out of stand on his feet, and he was stretched out of the arena.
Yeah, that looked bad. Yeah. But again, it was all precautionary.
It was a great fight night. All the, you know, from top to bottom, yeah. There was some crazy knockouts in the card. Really good performances from Darren Cruickshank as well.
Yeah.
And also on the card, we had Soa Pelele with another performance. And also the co-main event, which Costas Philippou with a beautiful short right hand to floor Lawrence Larkin. But, you know, looking at this fight and the way the UFC have promoted Matt Brown, you know, something that really, you know, it annoys me, because there's such a really good story there at Matt Brown. You know, he was a guy who was nearly cut from the UFC. He was a guy that, had a huge amount of problems in his past with addiction, etc. Do you not think they could do a better job in, you know, pushing him forward?
As in promoting?
Yeah, in promoting him as a fighter.
I'm sure they could, and I'm sure that's probably what they would look to do for the next fight. With Dana saying now, this is no longer Rich Franklin's town, this is Matt Brown's town. So, you know, I'm sure now if you get for his next fight, if they'll headline a fight night back in Cincinnati, and it'll be, you know, Matt Brown versus, you know, Robbie Law, or Matt Brown versus Tyron Woodley, or Woodley,
what,
or whatever.
What, Tyron Woodley?
So, Tyron Woodley, yeah.
We're just trying to get Mark Raimondi on the line here, guys. But as
there, I think
Mark, you there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Mark? Do appreciate you the time. We're live on the air now here in Dublin, Ireland with TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. How are you keeping, my friend? How are things?
Yeah, man, I'm doing well. Last night was pretty crazy, huh?
Crazy night of fights. As well, actually, I just realized, sorry for disturbing you, it's Mother's Day in the States, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers possibly listening around the world here in the United States and things like that.
I'm actually not a mother, but I appreciate that.
Cheers.
But usually when people call me a mother, it's usually a mother followed by a different word, but I can't wait to hear. So.
Good stuff. You're on with myself, Niall, and Keith, Mark. Mark, getting to the fights last night, we'll talk a little bit, obviously, a wonderful performance from Matt Brown. There's been a lot of talk today in social networks and last night that, you know, possibly, I think in the heat of the moment, a lot of people got carried away with actually how good the fight was as a whole. It was obviously a really good spectacle. Where would it rank in your sort of, you know, list of all-time great fights?
I don't know if it's going to crack my list of all-time great fights. I think it's the best fight of the year so far this year. But it was really, it was more about, in my mind, it was more about, because he was in a lot of trouble early on, and I think it was just more about his, you know, his fortuitiveness, you know, his perseverance. You know, he was, you know, Silva had his back. He was hurt a couple times with serious body shots, and he was able to come back, and he really, after the first part of the first round, he really dominated the fight. And Silva was super, super tough, and he took a beating. As far as, like, you know, it was back and forth to an extent, but I feel like after the first part of the first round, it was really Matt Brown's fight and Matt Brown's night.
Do you think, you know, a lot of people have written off Matt Brown, you know, the media, you know, the bookies had him as an underdog going into the fight. Do you think the UFC have done enough, Mark, to, because, you know, you could promote Matt Brown in so many ways, you know, the trouble passed, you know, he was nearly cut by the UFC. Do you think the UFC have done a good enough job to really push Matt Brown into the spotlight?
I think it's starting to happen now, and I mean, there's a reason why the guy was, you know, the main event of a card in his home, you know, basically his hometown. He's from Columbus, but Cincinnati's, you know, a few minutes away. I think they're starting to realize how you know, that Matt Brown can be a little bit of a draw. He talks real well. You know, he says some interesting things, which is always a positive thing. I mean, you guys know how it is. Yeah. If a guy can talk well and says, you know, provocative things, you know, to the media, it kind of promotes his brand. He says some silly things sometimes too, but you know that also can help in some ways. But yeah, I think they're just starting to realize that he can be a guy that fans connect with, and honestly, his body of work in the octagon speaks for itself. He's so exciting. He's never in a bad fight. He knocks guys out. His style is so, I mean, it's just conducive to good fights, and you can really put him in there against anybody, and it'll be fun.
And where would you rank that in Matt's performances? You know, is that the best fight of his career?
It's funny. He has actually a tendency to come back in fights, and I think this fight was the one where he had to dig the deepest, because he got hit in the opening seconds. He got hit with that body kick, and he was folded up. And most people, when they get hit like that early on in the fight, that's it. I mean, how many times have we seen it, even recently, where a guy gets hit with a body shot, goes down, and that's it. The referee calls the fight. But he was able to, like, literally hang on to Eric Silva's leg for dear life and survive. It took a few seconds for him to get back, but he held on. He survived that onslaught. Silva took his back, and he was in trouble. But once he got out of that, it was his fight. So in that way, I think it was his best comeback. I don't know if Silva is necessarily the best opponent that he's beaten. It's possible. I think the Jordan Mind fight, was an awesome performance, because that was such a back and forth, crazy, wild fight. But I mean, this is certainly up there. I mean, it's hard to, it's all subjective, you know. It was an awesome fight.
Keith.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I was just wondering, with the after the fight, obviously Eric was stretchered out, and you know, thankfully he got the all clear and all that. But I'm hearing that there was a lot of kind of negative media attention over in the States from a lot of non-MMA media that did actually report the fact that he was ultimately fine, and they were just reporting that an MMA fighter was stretchered out and, you know, took a lot of damage. Did you see any of this, or was that going on?
I didn't see anything directly, but I mean, when anytime a fighter gets stretchered out of the cage, it's going to draw some negative attention. It's just, I mean, just the way it is. As soon as, I mean, it's just the picture, right? It's the image of someone being stretchered out of anywhere. That kind of gets people's attention. And it is, I mean, you know, guys, how it is. If it leaves, it leaves. So if something terrible happens, it usually does make the headlines, and then you find out a day later or a few hours later that it really wasn't as bad as it seemed to be. But all anyone wants to talk about is, oh, you know, Aaron Silva got carted out on a stretcher. I mean, it turns out he has no broken bones. His coach said today that he doesn't have a concussion, although I find that hard to believe. He has to have some kind of minor concussion. I don't think you can take that many blows to the head. How many significant strikes did Matt Brown have to the head? It was over 100, I think.
113.
He probably had some kind of minor concussion. But, I mean, other than that, he seems to be fine. It's an MMA fight. You know, it's something that's going to happen. It was probably precautionary. He didn't look very good. Let's be honest. He didn't look very good after that fight. He was a bloody mess. You know, he couldn't even get to his feet on his own power at one point. So, look, I mean, that stuff happens. The mainstream media is gonna pick it up for what it is.
Yeah,
same thing happens when a football player, you know, goes down. American football, my apologies. when an American football player goes down, gets carted out, you know, who knows? It could be like a cramp. But, you know, you see the guy carted out, and that's the last thing image people have. So it's just kind of the way it is.
Exactly. It was 118 significant strikes Matt Brown landed. Incredible amounts of strikes landed. It's insane. You know, let's talk a little bit about Aaron Silva as well. This guy, you know, the problem with Aaron Silva I always find is, you know, he comes out all guns blazing the first round, as we saw, and then tends to gas. You know, we look at this guy, you know, he showed great heart, and, you know, he landed some really nasty body kicks, as you mentioned there, to Matt Brown. But where do we see Matt Brown going next? You know, is it going to be that title shot that he's called for, or is it going to be someone like, obviously, Tyron Woodley's fighting Rory McDonald soon? Is going to be the winner of that, or Jake Ellenberger? Who's Jake fighting again? Keith, you mentioned that to me just there. Versus Robbie Lawler pretty soon.
Yeah.
Is he going to get, you know, is it going to be a contender elimination fight before we see him getting a title shot?
I don't think Matt Brown gets a title shot next, but he's damn close. And anytime you can win a fight like he won, you get people's attention. And you could just see the wheels turning in Dana White's head when he was talking last night in the press conference. You know he wants to put Matt Brown in a big fight on a pay-per-view in Cincinnati next year. I could just see the wheels turning. You know, if there's a possibility of Matt Brown winning one or two more fights and possibly getting a title shot next year in Cincinnati on pay-per-view, you're going to see that fight, I'm sure. But it's a little bit too soon to talk about that now. I do think the Tyron Woodley, Rory McDonald winner will probably get Johnny Hendricks next. You know, Robbie Lawler and Ellenberger is such an interesting fight, too. The winner of that fight has a pretty good chance of seeing a title shot at some point, even though Lawler already lost to Hendricks. And then Hector Lombard is out there. You know, he's fantastic. I thought he looked amazing against Jake Shields. People said that was, you know, that he didn't finish Shields, but, I mean, Shields is a tough guy to finish. I'm a big fan of Hector Lombard and where he's at right now. And then even you have Dong Kyung Kim. The entire hierarchy right now, the upper echelon of the welterweight division in the UFC is pretty stacked. And anyone you put Matt Brown against next, it's going to be an awesome fight, most likely.
And how far can, you know, Matt Brown go, in your opinion, Mark?
How far can he go? I think he can get a title shot. I don't know if he has the total skill set to win the title, but with anyone who has the kind of power in his hands that he does, you know, you give the guy a punch and chance. I mean, he could beat anybody. There's no one he can't beat in the welterweight division, but I think he'll struggle against the more versatile fighters in the top five there.
And we just move on a little bit from that fight. We look at Costas Philippou and Lawrence Larkin. And the difference between Matt Brown, obviously, Matt, and, you know, I really do respect this when guys get on the microphone and, you know, they make a case for a title shot or a case for an opponent, such as, you know, Conor McGregor and what Matt Brown did last night. You know, Costas Philippou in the post...
Can't have a conversation with an Irish MMA fan without the name Conor McGregor coming up somewhere.
But Costas got on, you know, he was asked a question in the post-fight press conference last night. And, you know, who do you want to fight next? I mean, you know, we get this, you know, pretty standard response from a lot of fighters, you know, oh, I'll fight whoever the UFC want me. You know, should a guy like Costas Philippou, you know, coming off a couple of losses before last night, and he got a good win last night with a nice right hand, should he be making, you know, calling out someone and trying to, you know, sell himself a little bit better?
Probably. I agree with you. I think that, especially a guy like Costas Philippou, who, when you put him in there with a striker, it's going to be a great fight. You know, if he wrestles somebody, if it's a, you know, he's in there against a wrestler, he's going to struggle. I mean, look at Francis Carmont, you know, dominated him. He grinded him out the entire fight. If Philippou's in there against a striker, it's a fun fight. You know, someone's probably getting knocked out. Why not call out a striker? Why not call out someone else in the middleweight division? Call out Bisbing. Everyone calls out Bisbing. Why not? You know, just throw his name out there. You know, but honestly, it's just not him. You know, it's just not his style. He's not that kind of guy. He's a very honest, candid guy. But if he doesn't believe something, he's not going to say it. I mean, not a lot of guys get up there and say, "Oh, I was thinking about retirement," you know, before the last fight.
Yeah.
But he did. You know, so you can kind of see, you can kind of get a glimpse of into who he is as a person. And I you know, he's just not that kind of guy. And he's not going to be phony. He's not going to be the guy, you know, to come out and unless he really believes it, unless he really like it's a personal thing with someone else,
yeah.
Then he'll, you know, he might call someone out. But other than that, he's not a self-promoter at all. Which, you know. You know how it goes. The guys that are self-promoted do very well, and they make a lot of money. And guys who don't, you know, they need to do a lot more in the octagon to make things happen for themselves.
Definitely. Another guy who's, you know, improved his microphone skills and promote himself and, you know, coming off a really, really impressive performance last night. Another underdog on the card to get a win was Darren Cruikshank against Eric Koch. Darren Cruikshank is, you know, is he ever going to get onto that, you know, top sort of five level, or is he just going to be a gatekeeper? You know, what can we see for Darren Cruikshank after such an impressive performance last night?
I mean, he's not 30 years old yet. You know, he's still in his 20s. He's still in his prime. He's so electric standing up, and he's so much fun to watch. And again, he's another guy when you put him in there against a striker, it's going to be a fun fight. There's going to be fireworks. And that's why the Koch matchup was so great. I mean, that's just brilliant matchmaking by Joe Silva and Sean Shelby. You know, you put him in there against Koch, and someone's getting knocked out. It's going to be a great stand-up battle. But again, you know, you have to see him against a wrestler. Same thing with Kostas. You know, you put him up against a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy, it's going to be a different story. That's probably his next step, I'd say. Before we see Darren Cruikshank in the top, you know, top 15, top 10, he probably has to get, like, you know, a wrestler, a grappler, or someone like that next. If he can beat that guy, then we can talk about him possibly being in the title discussion, maybe.
And another fight,
great division too. Another really good division. You know, 145 is pretty stacked. I'm sorry, 155 is pretty stacked.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. It's a crazy stacked division. But looking at, you know, another guy I couldn't understand wasn't on on the main card was Eddie Wineland. I know another upset in the card. It was a night full of upsets. Johnny Eduardo beat him in that fight. You know what's next for Eddie Wineland, the guy who was challenging for the title, you know, last time out.
That's a great question. I don't know. He came in number four, you know, among contenders in the bantamweight division. He's one of the most exciting guys in the bantamweight division. He's a blast to watch. There's a lot of guys in the card last night who were fun to watch. After losing to Johnny Eduardo, who no one really has heard of, it's hard. I mean, you know, Wineland, you might think he wins a couple more fights, possibly could, you know, sniff a title shot again. Now losing to a guy, you know, no one knows. He hasn't fought in 2 years, Eduardo. He's very good, and I think the UFC knew he was very good, which is why they put him in that matchup.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know where he goes from here. You know, I guess he kind of falls into that gatekeeper category where he's going to get the guys who are coming up, who are coming off, you know, like some wins over guys who no one knows, something like that. But yeah, I mean, as far as him being a contender, he's going to have to, you know, knock some guys off in impressive fashion in his next couple of fights to kind of get back to that level.
Definitely. Keith?
Yeah, I was just going back to the Cruikshank thing there. Do you think he'd be ready for, like, a winner of the Rustam Khabibov-Benson Henderson fight, possibly? Maybe that's kind of a bit too much of a step up, or do you think that he's ready for that level?
I'm not sure if he's there yet. I'm not sure if he's at that level yet. I think the winner of that fight is right there. You know, I think the winner of that fight is right there in the division. You know, especially Henderson. I mean, his resume is so excellent. Even though people think he lost to Josh Thompson in his last fight, you know, if Anthony Pettis is the best, you know, lightweight in the world, Benson Henderson is right there. He's 1A or, you know, or number two. Cruikshank is actually a guy that I was thinking of that might be a good fight for Cruikshank next. Ramzi Nijhoff is coming off some big wins.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good grappler. His striking looks very good lately. It's a cool stylistic matchup because, you know, Nijhoff as striking has come along. Cruikshank is obviously so, you know, his stand-up is absurd. It's awesome. His kicks are great. That could be the next fight for him. And then the winner of that fight, you might be able to talk about as top 15, you know, getting a contender, you know, next to, you know, whoever wins between Nijhoff and Cruikshank. I'm just throwing that name out there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Cool. And just before we let you go, I know you're in a rush there, Mark. The welterweight division, what way does it pan out in the next, you know, 6 to 7 months? You know, what's going to happen? Who's going to be contending for that title or have that title by the end of this year?
I think Johnny Hendricks is still the guy. I think Johnny Hendricks is still the best, most well-rounded fighter in the division. But I think pound for pound, I think 170 is the best division in the UFC right now. Yeah, I know that, you know, 155 was the best for a while. You know, 145 is awesome. But when you look at the names at the top of the welterweight division, you know, you have Hendricks, you have Woodley, you know, you have McDonald, Ellenberger, Lawler. You know, Condit is out for a year, but Condit's a stud. You know, Condit's one of the best guys in the division. And when he gets back from his ACL injury, I expect him fully to be right there. You know, top five guy, you know, maybe number one contender. And then the other guys, Lombard, Dong Hyun Kim, guys like that, you know, Matt Brown, it's stacked. The top 10 is stacked. Even Eric Silva, you know, he's pretty darn good. You know, he didn't win last night, but he's pretty darn good. I think it's a toss up. You know, I think there's a lot of opportunities for guys right now. And when George St. Pierre went on sabbatical, it kind of opened up the door. And it seems like everyone has stepped up their game since then, thinking, hey, you know what? You know, he's gone now. And, you know, now I can go win the title. You know, St. Pierre held the title for so long. You know, he was almost like, you know, I was actually talking about this with Matt Hughes. I saw Matt Hughes in Dallas before 171. And Matt Hughes was like, you know, people saw St. Pierre leave and they saw a door open for themselves.
Yeah.
And they said, I can go out and I can get that title now. Everyone was trying to get a title shot at 170. Now they know they can win the title. You know, it's not the same thing. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah. 100%. Mark Raimondi of FoxSports.com. Where can the guys find your work? Obviously on Fox Sports, but what's your Twitter handle so the guys can hit you up on that?
It's at Mark_Raimondi. So it's at MARC_RAIMONDI.
Mark, really,
and it's,
do
FoxSports.com/UFC.
Brilliant stuff. Mark, really do appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll have a chat again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All the best.
Take care, Mark. Thanks
have
to me for
a good
that.
One.
Cheers. Same to you, brother. And that was Mark Raimondi of FoxSports.com, UFC staff writer. Moving on, Keith, some really interesting stuff there from Mark. We've mentioned Matt Brown, Eric Silva, Kostas Philippou, and Lawrence Larkin. We mentioned that fight. We touched on it briefly there. You know, what's next for Kostas? Because it was in the post-fight press conference. He just, you know, so passive. Oh, you know, I'll let, you know, the UFC decide who my next opponent is. You know, we really need a bit more, you know, people coming out and, you know, screaming and calling, doing the Conor McGregor, Cole Miller sort of thing where, you know, they're looking for fights. It sort of really frustrates me when guys, you know, just say, oh, yeah, okay. You know, just so passe.
I found it kind of refreshing, to be honest. I was just like, well, it's just nice to see a grounded, kind of normal dude in there who's just like, I'm really, you know
but,
what I mean?
He but was he's a guy who's coming off, you know, two losses, obviously beating Lawrence last night. But, you know, surely he should be doing more to try and sell himself, you know, and he admitted that, you know, he possibly might have retired after the Luke Rockhold fight, but then, you know, found his calling again. It just gets under my tits. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of funny because if you're watching on obviously the Fox Sports coverage, and Bisping was obviously trains at Lorenz Larkin, and saying beforehand, I'm going to go with Larkin. He just has far better kickboxing and stand up than Philippou, and I was literally like 2 minutes later knocked out. Found that kind of amusing, but yeah, I think
who would you you know match him up against next time out in the middleweight division? Is there anyone out there, you know, you could see him possibly wanting to fight?
I haven't thought about it. A quick look at the rankings and see.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I was impressed. It was an impressive performance because the guy against Lawrence Larkin is a good, solid fighter. It was a lovely, lovely shot to take him down. But it's going to be interesting to see what the UFC do with Philippou next, because he's that sort of fighter now. His stand-up is so good. He's such a good boxer. But, you know, he's a few losses against the top guys in his record, and you can't really, he's going to be a gatekeeper, sort of top 10 guy, in my opinion, anyway. Speaking of Darren Cruickshank, another guy we were speaking about there, another ultra-impressive performance from Darren last night. This guy is building a serious, serious highlight reel package together. How good can this guy go? Mark touched on it there briefly. What's your opinion on Darren Cruickshank as a fighter?
Yeah, he's at that age now where you're kind of approaching your prime as an MMA fighter, and it looks like it's kind of all coming together. It was funny that fight was expected by a lot of people to be the fight of the night. Unfortunately, they don't have a knockout of the night anymore, so I'd say
performance of the night.
Performance of the night, yeah, I suppose, yeah. So everyone gets that, like, apparently. But, yeah, I thought he was great.
How far can he go, in your opinion, in this division? Most stacked division in the UFC, well, the welterweight division.
Arguably. I mean, even looking at the lightweight rankings here, everybody in the top 13 has a green arrow going up. Like, everybody in that top 10 has been going up and is not coming off a loss. So it's, when you come in that, like, it's like everybody seems to be in form. You know, he could. I know if Jim Miller's been taken up, that might have been a decent fight, but you never know. I don't know. Can he go? It's impossible to say.
Well, they're going to have to put him up, against someone
as
higher
Mark said,
ranked
he's probably
now.
He's probably not on the Benson Henderson, Rustam Khabibov level, but.
Bobby Green's getting a fight at 172, isn't he? I think he is.
Is Miles Jury?
Miles Jury isn't taken up at the moment.
No, that could be it.
I don't believe.
But then again, they like Miles Jury as a future guy, and Cruikshank's coming up. That might be a bit.
Gray Maynard, I like that fight.
Gray Maynard, there you go.
I like that fight. Rank number 8.
Because it's beating the name, but it's not, you know.
Definitely, I like that fight. That's a good fight. Give him a good test of a top-ranked opponent. Obviously, Gray's on a bit of a back burner, but still, that'll be a real good test for Dan Cruikshank, in my opinion. I like that fight. I just had a look at
that. Well, we can take credit for that then, if it happens.
Well, there we go. There we go. And guys, if you want to hit up Keith, you can catch him on Twitter at what?
Keith MacGP.
And I'm at Niall McGrath 4, and obviously you can catch us on Twitter at TBMMADOTCOM. So hit us up with that, any questions. But we're going to be getting, as I mentioned to you last week, we're going to be getting a phone line in here soon. So you better call in and we better get... just after dropping my phone there. Lovely. you can call in to the show in a couple of weeks' time. Okay, moving on. Neil Magny and Tim Means. This fight, with all greatest respect to Neil Magny and Tim Means, Keith, I don't know how this fight was on the main card. If you look at the fight between Johnny Eduardo and Eddie Wineland, I know you didn't see the prelims. Fantastic. A lot of people don't know who Johnny Eduardo is. He's from Novo Unão, trains with guys like Henan Barão. And going up against a guy like Eddie Wineland, Eddie Wineland's coming off, a win against Jeevia Bween. And before that, obviously, he fought for the title against Henan Barão. It was just seemed very strange to me to put that fight on the prelim card and to have Neil Magny and Tim Means, which I think everyone knew was going to go to a decision, and it did. What did you enjoy that fight at all? It was probably the poorest fight on the card.
I thought it was entertaining. Yeah,
all the fights were entertaining, but it was probably
Kenny
the least enjoyable.
Ninja choke every 5 minutes. there was some odd moves. It was a good fight. Obviously, I got that prediction right in the official stat picks we put up, so I was happy with that. But it was a decent. It was a weird one. Kind of felt like Magny wasn't as good a fighter, but he was still winning the fight. It was a weird. I'd have to watch it again, but. First glimpse, it was like, he won this. I don't know. It was a strange fight for me for some reason.
Yeah, I found it pretty strange. But it was probably my least enjoyable fight on the card. And I was a bit surprised, as I mentioned there, that it was on the main card. I definitely thought Eddie Wineland and Johnny Eduardo should have been on
there. I think that's probably
card.
To balance it out and to kind of get more people to watch the prelims, to, have a few name fighters down lower, so maybe that was their thinking on that,
And another guy, let's move down and have a little chat about Soa the Hulk Pelele, a guy who's been on a streak since coming back into the UFC. Obviously the fight against Nikita Krylov, he cracked a rib or broke a rib a couple of weeks before the fight, didn't want to pull out, a pretty underwhelming performance against Nikita Krylov, but came back with a great win against Pat Barry, a smashing, ground and pound finish of Pat Barry. And he did the same again last night to the former EFC champion, making his UFC debut, Ruan Potts. That was another phenomenal finish from Soa the Hulk Pelele. If he gets you on the mat, you're done, Keith.
That was, it was a short punch from, the full mount. It wasn't like continuous hammer fist. It was like he was knocked out with the first punch. You just don't really see that often. And then he was asked in the press conference after, it's like, talk us through it and all. He's just like, well, if I get on top of you, I'm punching you in the face, you're done. And it was interesting, but he's a powerhouse, all right.
And how far can this guy go, Keith? What will the UFC do next? Who would you like him to see fight? Surely he's a guy who has to move up the ladder now after, two really impressive wins in his last two outings. Would you put him in, against, Stefan Struve or someone like that? Or?
Struve is fighting, what's his name?
Struve is booked, isn't he?
He's, yeah, Matt Mitrione.
Matt Mitrione, that's right.
Apparently Matt Mitrione asked for Struve before finding out he was cleared by the doctors. Mm. So Struve is not happy about it. He thinks it's disrespectful. But anyway, who could he go with?
There's a lot of guys
booked.
There's
guys like Gabe Gonzaga and stuff like that he could.
I think that'd be a really interesting one. Yeah. Would be Gabe Gonzaga to really test out, you know, how good he is. Obviously, Gabe is a really good jiu-jitsu player. And, you know, if Soa got him to the deck or tried to get him to the deck, it'd be interesting to see how that panned out.
Or he could, if they want. I know it's probably a bit too much of a step up, but, you know, Josh Barnett as well. But
yeah, Josh, again,
Josh Barnett's
fights.
Coming off a loss, so I know they don't like to match losses with wins, but you never know.
Yeah.
But he could be, yeah, it could be a...
Be an interesting
Cape
fight.
Gonzaga as well, yeah. Cape Gonzaga versus Sao Paulo. Yeah. Heard it here first.
How far do you think he can go?
How old is he now?
He's 35, I think.
Yes, I wouldn't put him near like title contention or anything.
36.
But yeah, he gets a couple of wins under it, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, Cain Velasquez, the thing about Cain Velasquez is he's only really fighting once a year. So if he was a 3-fight-a-year champion,
yeah,
and the way he's eating up opponents, you know, anyone, if he was fighting consistently and performing consistently the way he is right now, he'd be eating them up and he'd be needing fresh meat essentially every time. And for now they're up, they can keep refreshing. Like, you know, he's not running out of opponents right now. But if it got to that stage, Paletti could get in there. But, you know, as it is, no, the guys are queuing up in that division right now.
Yeah, in my opinion anyway, I think, you know, I don't think anyone's going to touch Cain Velasquez for quite some time.
No, you're looking at, like, in the very unlikely scenario that Daniel Cormier does it. I still don't think Cormier beats him, but, you know, at least it could be a fight, but they're not going to fight each other. And, you know, in a couple of years, if John Jones permanently moves up, maybe, still don't think he beats him.
Yeah,
I think Cain Velasquez is, like, injury problems are the only thing that can stop him, really.
Definitely, I completely agree with you on that one. Keith, another fight on the card there was the flyweight bout. It was a bit of a strange one. Lewis Smolka against Chris Carriasso. One of the judges gave it a split decision, which was absolutely criminal. In my eyes, it was probably Sal D'Amato. I know Sal D'Amato, I don't like to, you know, slay people, but Sal is really, I don't know why Sal is a judge. He clearly doesn't know what he's at. A crazy split decision. I thought Chris Carriasso took it really easily, Keith.
Yeah,
clearly,
I mean,
two rounds to one.
I confess I wasn't 100% like watching the whole fight. Like, and it was one of those where you could take your eye off it. But I knew like Carriasso dominated the fight, and I just looked up and I heard split decision, and I was like, tell me they're not gonna do what I think they're gonna do here. But yeah, he got the win. Like, the problem with split decisions is you look at a guy's record when you're kind of researching, you know, split decision, oh yeah, and it gets in your head then that split decision must have been a close fight. You know, this wasn't a close fight. So yeah, it's fortunate for really that Carriasso it'll have that, because split decisions don't look as good as unanimous decisions, so, which goes without saying. But
definitely,
it's just, yeah, no, it was again, it wasn't the most exciting fight that to open the card, but, you know, but it was it was a dominant performance by Carriasso.
Overall, it was an absolutely it was a barn burner, barn burner of a card from top to bottom. I know you haven't seen the prelims yet, Keith, but you should definitely tune in and watch them. They're absolutely...
I have them taped, but the family get the TV on the Sunday, so I have to wait my chance. But I'll be watching tomorrow.
And did you see the Chuck Liddell guy in the crowd? It was very funny, very interesting.
What was it?
There was a guy dressed as Chuck Liddell in the crowd. He had a Chuck Liddell suit on.
Oh, a suit?
It was like
I did not see that.
It was absolutely priceless, absolutely vintage stuff altogether. Let's get back to Matt Brown for a minute and Eric Silva. Cracking fight, really enjoyed the fight. I think it was on, what time did it kick off here? I think it was about nearly 6 a.m. here, because I didn't get to bed till 7 a.m. The lengths we go to watch mixed martial arts in Ireland, over this side of the pond. You know, I mentioned to you there earlier on about Matt Brown. You know, I feel possibly the UFC could do a little bit more in promoting him, and he's made the efforts himself. You know, ultimately, you said there you think he loses to Rory McDonald or Tyron Woodley, or Jake Ellenberger and Robbie Lawler. you know, as the question I asked Mark there, how's this division going to pan out in the next few months? What do you see happening with the welterweight division?
I don't know, the Woodley McDonald fight is obviously huge, because I don't think Lawler Ellenberger gets a title shot. Yeah. And obviously that one's going to be the one that get a winner of that. I mean, you can't discount the Gunnar Nelson Ryan LaFleur fight. You know, I'm not saying either will get a title shot, but I think the winner of that gets put into, you know, that Ellenberger Lawler level, even maybe, you know, that is in a top five fight. I mean, insane division. You know,
I've mentioned Gunnar Nelson to you. I believe Gunnar is going to be the UFC welterweight champion within the next 18 months. You know, obviously Gunnar has a fight coming up here in Dublin against Ryan LaFleur. Gunnar wins that, surely he's another name that's going to be pushing for, you know, a top five guy. He's really going to have to move up the rankings in that division with the win over Ryan LaFleur. Another name in the hat, so to speak.
Yeah, I think Gunnar Nelson, if he's to get a title shot in 18 months, I think his whatever three wins will have to be, you know, decimations. Like, they'll have to be like the Akhmedov fight, where he just makes a statement each time, and it's just like, okay, we just have to put him in there and see if he can take the belt. Like,
yeah, like Ryan's ranked 15, Gunnar's ranked 13. Then obviously you have, you know, you've the top guys like Lawler, ranked 1, McDonald, Woodley, Condit, Ellenberger, Lombard. What's next for Gunnar Nelson? If I'm presuming he's going to beat Ryan LaFleur, where does he go to throw himself, his name in the hat in that division?
I don't think they'll give him a top fight again. I mean, he's still, they're one at the put. He hasn't had his American debut, hasn't he?
No, he was supposed to fight Pyle in Vegas. And
so
then
I think they want to do that.
Accidents.
I think Pyle's still there, but I think he's beyond Pyle at that stage, though. If he beats LaFleur, it's a bit like a step back almost. Perhaps the winner of a Lawler Ellenberger.
I think he's potentially two to three fights away from a title shot.
Yeah, I'd say three minimum, I would think, just because of who, like, the amount of other guys that are doing, you know, Matt, they'll be dying to get Matt Brown near a title that they can do a Cincinnati fight with the champion. You know what I mean? It's just,
definitely,
there's a lot more marketing opportunities.
And big props to the crowd last night.
Nelson's got this Fedor-esque kind of persona, but he doesn't have the record behind him that Fedor does to back it up. You know, he's got
cold, calculated.
Yeah, he has
cool
the ability and
character.
He doesn't have that, you know, 10 years unbeaten run behind him that Fedor did. That you're like, oh, it's just Fedor, he's cool. You know, Gunnar Nelson right now, I think he needs another couple of wins, dominating performances, a couple in America to kind of get people noticing and going, he's no longer just a prospect. This guy's legit, you know, and then we'll see what happens with him then, like, will he start pushing him forward that way? But
so who's going to be who's going to be the welterweight champion, say, come December 31st? Will Hendricks be beaten? Will anyone take
Hendricks
his belt?
If Hendricks going to fight before then, that's the thing. I don't know about his injury. Like, is he going to be ready?
Yeah,
hopefully. His next, crossed. I mean, it's probably going to be the winner of McDonald and Woodley, and I think he beats both of them. I think he knocks out McDonald. I'm not quite a believer in the Rory McDonald story. Yeah.
I think Matt Brown gives Rory McDonald big problems.
Yeah, I think that I said at the start that Brown probably loses to both of them, the more I thought about it as Mark was talking, and I was kind of like, I just picture Brown just rushing him with that kind of pace.
And not letting him settle.
And I watched Condit's very similar to Brown in that way, where he just, you know, combinations and kicks, and it's calculated, like calculated mayhem almost, where he just, and you know, McDonald couldn't handle it with Condit. So, you know, you never know. I think Woodley is if Woodley doesn't beat Brown in the first round, I mean, we saw, I know he says he didn't gasp, but I mean, he looked tired in the second round.
Big time.
And Brown just doesn't get like that. So Brown just outpaces him. I think.
Just saying that, like, was there ever more appropriate, you know, ring name than the Immortal Matt Brown? After coming back from that, you know, he was in a lot of trouble earlier on, that body kick, and to come back into the fight and to show, you know, as John Anik mentioned in the octagon after the fight, mental strength. You know, Matt Brown is serious, serious mental strength.
There was
another
as well. Like, I think it was in the second, third round.
He took I think, six to seven body
and
shots.
See, each time he winced. And it was like, when you're... I'd rather be punched in the face than get a shot to the liver like that. It's just...
That's exactly what Matt Brown said to Dana White last night after the fights. And, only guys who fight know that feeling, but it is nasty. I've had a few concussions from playing ball back in my day, and I've got a few, you know, kicks where I shouldn't get kicks. But yeah, I'd probably go along with that with the old body shots.
Yeah, no, just even from sparring myself, like, and I wouldn't have said I've ever taken full force. I mean, I was kicked full force in the face there a few weeks ago, but
you did a nice shiner.
I did have a nice one. Yeah, I looked hard, all right. but even just like 20% body shots, like, it's just the worst feeling, and you just feel like you're just paralyzed immediately. There's nothing worse. So to come up from that was just, it was amazing, because he kind of looked like he wanted to just roll up in a ball and quit, and then he just got like a second wind and just came back at him. It was amazing, and he just looked better for it. It was like, okay, I survived that, and now I can do anything. And
it was crazy.
He made Silva just, you know, Silva looked like
he broke him. That's what he
did break him to a point, but Silva still, you know, you were going to have to make the ref pull you off, because Silva's not going to just quit. Like, he was, like, it was insane how Silva just kept coming back and running into him.
Serious,
like,
heart shown from Silva as well. Yeah, you got to take your hat off to both guys in that fight, because, you know, it takes two to tango, and it really was an absolute barn burner of a fight, and I really, really did enjoy it. Last night it was really good stuff. But I'd like to see, as I said there, you know, the UFC put a bit more weight into Matt Brown's promotion, and a lot of other fighters as well. I'm not just saying that because, you know, Matt Brown, we've had him on the show a number of times in the past, but a really, really tough guy, and a guy who's as fit as that for his age is just insane as well.
But to be honest, they put zero promotion into it. Like,
yeah,
now they're going to run with it. But I mean, even like when I was doing like my preview of the fight and stuff, and I was like looking online, I was like, oh yeah, usually we have, okay, they don't do countdowns for the fight nights, it was Friday before there was even a preview, like a fight preview video put up. I was like, surely there's something here. There was absolutely nothing put up. There's a 1 minute snippet of, I think it was Rogan and,
they put up, you know, the free fights and things like that, but that's not going to sell it.
I couldn't fathom it. I mean, even without that performance, you knew Matt Brown. If anyone has seen even one fight from either of these guys, you're going to go, yep, this is going to be at least, you know, this is going to be a very good fight at the very least. And it turns out it's most likely the best fight of the year so far.
Yeah.
So that was baffling to me, to be honest. Like, but I think they're going to, I hope they'd learn from it and move on. But the fact that they have to,
they tend to do this a lot with, you know.
Yeah, this is people's fears with the, you know, the weekly events is that they're just kind of, okay, we'll focus on, you know, it was a lot of stuff already for the Barão Dillashaw card, which is obviously brilliant because it's a huge card, it's a stacked card. But I mean, that's, you know, 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
They started putting stuff over that 3 weeks. So, you know, it's great and all that. But I mean, you need to, you know, give, I mean, Dana saying, oh, the gate wasn't what I wanted and all this as well. I was like, well, you didn't promote the thing. Like, what do you expect?
I agree with you. Yeah, there wasn't enough, definitely enough mainstream promotion for the fight.
Yeah.
But another thing as well, you know, with Matt Brown, it's sort of a scenario, I feel, where the UFC have more or less, you know, sort of tried to feed him to the wolves over the past, you know, some of the past seven fights. And he sort of bit them in the balls, and, you know, he's come through these fights. Obviously, the fights against, you know, I think a lot of people thought Mike Swick was going to take him out, and then Jordan Main was going to take him out, and possibly to an extent Mike Pyle as well. He was in underdogs in a lot of these fights coming into them, and he's overcome it. You know, surely they can't ignore him anymore.
Well, I don't think they are now anymore. I think it's just obvious. It's right in front of them now, but they've got it. You know, they've got an absolute star. I mean,
beast.
Essentially, like, beats his contender fight, and all of a sudden, they're, no matter what, they're marketing a guy coming in on an 8-fight win streak to take on a champion. Like, it's perfect for them now. But Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what they do with the next fight. I think, as I said, the Ellenberger Lawler winner
is yeah.
the one that makes most sense for me.
Yeah.
But sure, we'll see what happens. The Lawler fight, which is...
I'm going to go with it. I think Rory McDonald, Matt Brown be a cracking fight. Yeah. I think Rory is going to beat Tyron Woodley.
I don't think they'd like to match Rory up with Matt Brown, though, for the reason that they really want Rory McDonald
to become the face of the promotion. To become
the face of the welterweight division. They really want that, you can tell. And
Peter Parker himself.
Yeah, and it would be literally like, we're going to feed Matt Brown another one of our guys we wanted to push forward. It's, you know, I think they'd be mad to do that.
Yeah.
Or not, because you can market Matt Brown brilliantly as well as a champion. But, you know, all of a sudden, Rory McDonald's got another loss in the welterweight division. And it's harder and harder to kind of call him this huge, the heir to GSP, so to speak. But
Spider-Man himself, Peter Parker.
Why are you calling him Spider-Man?
Because, you know, when he dresses with his glasses and all, he looks like Maguire from Spider-Man. He's a Muppet, isn't he? Yeah.
I'm not a fan if I hadn't mentioned already.
Keith,
with his psychopath voice on him.
Yeah, man. He's an absolute headbanger, man. He's
Patrick Bateman out of American Psycho.
That's it. Oh, you can't undoubt his quality as a fighter.
No,
but
fantastic, but yeah, don't have to like him.
But he is. Listen, we'll leave UFC Fight Night for a few minutes before we wrap over here, Keith. And obviously, you can find us, obviously, and Keith's some great work over on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. Obviously, on Twitter. Keith, what's your Twitter handle? I always forget it, man. And I'm at Niall McGrath 4, and you can catch all the our Facebook details, Twitter details over on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. So hit it up. We're off to Berlin in a couple of weeks. Another EMEA card. How much are you looking forward to getting over there to cover that one?
Yeah, I actually can't wait. So I won an accumulator in the football today, so I can actually properly afford it as well.
Who did you have?
I had United Southampton to draw. I had Chelsea, Liverpool, City to win, and Stoke to win.
Great stuff. How much did you get back?
Stoke with an 87th minute winner, and United battering down to Southampton there. So it was an awkward one, wanting United not to get the winner. But, yeah. I got 120 back, so
sweet.
Pays for the flights, more or less. Happy days. Nice one.
Yeah, I'm actually quite pissed off because it was I was going to throw a bet in Jordan Spieth in the golf, and I'm not sure how he's getting on now. I think he's up there.
Yeah, he was out right later.
He was 30-1. So I'm pretty pissed off about that one. But
yes, I would.
Yeah, I'm not going to dwell on it for too long. But yeah, Berlin's going to be. I'm really looking forward to that main event. Musasi and Mark Muniz, obviously, and I actually am the co-main event. The more I sort of think about the co-main event, the more sort of I get a little bit more excited about it. Francis Carmona, who's probably the most boring fighter in UFC history, but if CB Dolloway can come out and do something,
if anyone can, he can.
Obviously, his last performance over in Brazil, it was absolutely a fantastic performance against Cesar Muchante Ferreira when he knocked him out within 39 seconds, and I think that stylistically could be a really interesting match. I think Luke Barnett was actually in a car accident during the weekend there. I believe he walked away unhurt.
Irish taxi driver, was it?
Yeah, he hasn't been too nice to us guys. No. Saying some bad stuff about us Irish boys.
I hope he's okay. Obviously.
Best wishes to Luke. I think the fight's still going ahead. I think he said he's okay. So, looking forward to that and seeing if Luke can keep his win streak going. What's Luke on now? Luke's on 9-0, I believe.
Yeah.
And that'll make it 10-0. And that would be make it 9-0. He's on 8-0 at the moment. So there's some good fights in that card. Obviously Andy Ogle versus Maximo Blanco. Another interest from this side of the pond. Andy, a guy we know only too well. Obviously from his days. What Ultimate Fighter season? So 16, I think it was Andy was on. But really looking forward to getting over to Berlin. Obviously we have Wednesday. UFC 172 is in 2 weeks' time, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's the weekend beforehand.
So, Henan Barrow and TJ Dillashaw, we'll be back obviously with that on the Sunday night. We're doing a live show there, myself and Keith. We won't do anything next Sunday because there's not much on. And Bellator. Let's talk a little bit about another Eddie Alvarez. Concussion. timing's pretty bad for Bellator.
Yeah, we all thought it was going to be Tito, but no, it was Eddie Alvarez.
Is this Eddie Alvarez's ticket to the UFC? Will they? Will, you know? Will they just say leave it? We won't have the trilogy fight, and you can you know, you can have your passport and piss off to the UFC effectively.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very.
It's going to be a really, really
very weird. I mean, even the idea of bumping the title fight down now. I don't like that, the way the title fight.
Yeah, it's crazy. Isn't it?
Is not the main event.
It's crazy.
Rampage King Mo ahead of it now. And it's
Bellator is based on the more and more we look at Bellator. You have, you know, it was set out as a tournament format. You know, yeah. A weekly series on TV. And you know, going to the pay per view completely goes against what they stand for.
Yeah,
and they're basically bringing everyone in from other promotions to put together their pay per view card. Is it not just completely defeating the purpose?
All the fighters who made Bellator get to the pay per view stage
are being thrown off.
Are then being shafted for the guys they're bringing in who were cut by the UFC essentially. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's almost, you know,
it's embarrassing.
It's almost karma, like. That they kept their pay per views keep getting this kind of curse over them, you know. That I mean, I'm sure Tito's still going to pull out at some stage. I mean, it's still not too late.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
Tito, he's doing a lot of talking as well. It's like the more he talks, the more likely he's going to pull out. It's like he's, yeah, they're a bit of a mess sometimes. But yeah, it's a pity as well. I'm absolutely really looking forward to that because, as well, it's. It had its own weekend, essentially. So you're kind of right, grand.
See how it, just interested to see how it does as well.
Yeah, like, but just wanting to watch an unbelievable Michael Chandler Eddie Alvarez fight again.
It's one of
there aren't many trilogies where the third fight you're actually gone. It's a pick 'em. The third Dos Santos, you know, Velasquez fight. You're kind of like, yeah, we know Velasquez is going to probably do the same again. Couture Liddell, you go through them all. But this was a real, like, yeah, this is anyone's fight. And it's, I hope Alvarez does, they do it. And does stick around to finish the trilogy because, not to be corny, but the fans deserve it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, it's a pity.
It is a pity. Two guys I'd love to see in the Ultimate Fighting Championships facing up. You know, you'd love to see them face up against the likes of, you know, Gil Melendez, Benson Henderson. Josh Thompson, you know, the top guys on a regular basis instead of, you know, having to pit against each other the whole time, if we're honest about it, really, is what it comes down to.
But if you brought the bottom over, yeah, it'd be great. I mean, Eddie Alvarez, Gilbert Melendez fights, like, a great idea. There's 100 fights you can do.
Definitely. And obviously, we talked to Ian McCall last week.
We did.
We did a good chat with Ian last week, and... Rob Emerson put out a few tweets there on Keith on Friday. What exactly did Rob say responding to Ian's response to his comments?
From what I remember, it was basically that McCall hasn't got the talent or... I have them up here. Heavy words for someone that lacks the talent and power to put up a fight with me. You're going to F me up. Haha, really, bro. I'm going to beat that silly mustache off your stupid face, brah. And then I'm going to open you up and KO your tiny ass.
you pointed out something interesting to me, that his Twitter handle is actually spelled wrong.
Yeah, Lion Amongst Men. And I was kind of looking at it going, is that amongst? But he spelled amongst, A-M-U-N-G-S-T. And as an absolute proud grammar Nazi, I spotted it right away. So unless it's like an inside joke.
Yeah.
But your
grammar is excellent, Keith, I have to say that. Yeah. I often, if I'm doing up a little piece, I often forward it on to Keith to have a look hand beforehand there. It's out in the open, Keith, now.
Oh, I'm proud. I'm out and proud.
All right, whatever. But
it's
just
live, isn't it? This isn't live, is it?
It is live, yeah. It's all live, Keith. It's all live. But just before we get going, we've only a few minutes left here in the air. Let's talk about a little bit about has Dillashaw any chance in a couple of weeks' time against Henan Burrell?
Not for me. I mean, I'm a huge Henan Burrell fan. I mean, I had him as my pound for pound best fighter in the world. Kind of have him joint now with John Jones after the Glover fight.
Yeah.
I can't see. I think it's just kind of Burrell's a champion that is constantly ready to go, can fight three times a year, which they don't have a lot of. And they're just going to keep giving him opponents. Like, who's got two wins to get, give him that guy. Dillashaw's a brilliant fighter, don't get me wrong, but it's just going to keep getting Bro, keep Bro active. It's the best thing to do. He just keeps wanting to get his paydays. Keep putting on performances. I mean, it's another stoppage win for him.
It's a stock card.
Brilliant card, yeah.
It's a very stock card. Have we heard any more? Obviously, UFC Ireland. There's been no more fights announced since 2 weeks ago.
No.
It's been very quiet. And I heard, I'm pretty disappointed, I heard Pat Healy has a fight the night before, which is in New Jersey. So I'm a bit disappointed with Pat now for that one. At least he's hanging around, I suppose. They haven't given him his marching orders after 3 losses.
Yeah.
Which can be the case with some guys. It's great to see them.
It's the same.
In fairness to Pat, though, he's coming off, you know, some of those losses against top guys, Khabib Nurmagomedov being one of them. And, you know, and obviously the Jim Miller thing as well was very unfortunate. So it's probably right to keep a guy like Pat around, who's, he's a really tough dude to stay around the divisions in the UFC.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think he's in a position exactly to be kind of looking for the UFC Dublin card, though.
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned that to someone. I think, he can't really call for a fight.
Yeah, if the fact that they're giving him any fight is I'll take it. But as far as the Dublin card, I mean, it's similar to the Berlin card, and it just seems to be the way they're doing it, is they announce the first 5 or 6, they wait 2-3 months, and then it's like they don't really announce them. And then you just check the page, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, they have like 4 more fights.
Because Norman Park put something on Facebook there last
Norman
week.
Park, and you're not sure if he's talking about fighting or what, this and that.
Yeah, it's been a bit confusing. The Miles Jury fight was mentioned again, I think, when I was at Stan MMA show a couple of weeks ago. I think it was Fergus Ryan that mentioned that he'd like to see Miles Jury versus Norman Park. So that could be a possibility on the card.
That reminds me of the Gunnar Nelson Ryan LaFleur fight, though. As in, not ideal for either guy to kind of.
I must listen back to that, because Norman, I know they train with each other.
You did mention that before.
And they've trained with each other on normal occasions, but I think they're open to fighting each other. I think. I'm not sure. Yeah, I must listen back to fully remember what Norman said. This is about 2 months ago, so it's not very fresh in my memory. So I must listen back and see what he said. But now I think Norman's a shoo-in to be on the card.
I'd hope so, yeah. And I think it'll be one more Irish guy. I don't know if they're going to keep... I don't think it'll be 3 or 4 or anything like that. Like, we're
any chance the Reds are getting on the card, Paul? Reds or Rebbins?
Yeah, I was going to mention them. I hope so. And it's I don't know. It feels like it's more likely now than it was.
Yeah, I'd love to see Paul on the card.
There's no one ruling anything out or anything, which is obviously better than nothing. But, fingers crossed, because the guy, he's a sound man, he's a brilliant fighter, he's guaranteed to put on a great fight.
Yeah, he always brings.
But it's not in a kind of great fight where I'll go in there and get battered either. Like, he's either going to finish a guy, or if it goes to or it's going to be, an absolutely brilliant contest.
Yeah, I always love Paul's fights.
It's a different type of fight as well, because he's an absolute wizard on the ground. I mean, there's a lot of,
should look at the fight against Matt Brown. Matt Brown, Damian Brown, the Australian Cage Warriors.
Yeah.
It was a really, really exciting fight. And he wasn't even happy with his own performance, and he still won the fight and got fight of the night.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the kind of, as I was saying, a lot of the fights are kind of stand-up kind of brawls, and not brawls, but like, Conor McGregor's fight, stand-up. Gunnar Nelson's, Ryan LaFleur, like Paul Redmond's fights are showing a different level on the ground as well.
Okay, Keithy, we got to get out of here. We're running very low on time. Guys, I'll be back on Wednesday with a podcast. I haven't been back with a regular podcast in a couple of weeks, so I'll be back with Andrew McGahan from MMA.com on Wednesday. So look out for that guest to be confirmed. But always a stacked lineup, as you know. So Keith, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on again, and sure, we'll do it again in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back with wrecking the guys' heads in 2 weeks' time.
We'll do.
Yeah, and we'll have a stack lineup yet again. And big thanks, obviously, to Mark Raimondi from FoxSports.com tonight for his time. So from Keith Fitzpatrick and myself, Niall McGrath, it is good luck and good night. Cheers, guys. Thanks very much for listening.